Praise the Lord. Appreciate you being here tonight. Lord bless you for coming. And it's a crazy, crazy time for everybody, but we're glad you made it out of church. Let's stand. Sunday night we made mention of the young man out of Cherryville, Missouri that was killed in a car accident, 19 years old. And remember the church there and their family, the Lord had helped them as they're dealing with that loss. That's a great tragedy for that church. So I wish you'd remember that. His name was Joey Hewer. So let's remember that family. And also, we received another call, one of the churches from Tennessee that will be coming to youth camp next week. The young couple that's in the church, they came to youth camp last year, and they have two twin little girls, 2.5 years old. One of them was diagnosed with cancer, fourth stage cancer, and they don't give her but about a 20% chance, and don't believe they can do any operating on her or anything like that. So she really needs a miracle, and they're believing God for miracles. So if you'd remember her tonight, that the Lord would touch her as well. Remember Erica in prayer. We're continuing to pray for her. The Lord will help her. And the report today was that she was still doing good and doing well. So just continue to pray for her, that the Lord will help her continue to improve each and every day. Monday will be Erica's birthday, okay, on Monday. And if you'd think about it, maybe it'd be a good opportunity to just drop a card. She can't read it, but they'll set them up in her room, and when she comes to, she'll know that people were thinking about her on her birthday. So let's, if you don't mind, just send it to Brian and Robin Rankin's home, and they'll be sure it gets taken into her. And or you can bring it in church on Sunday, okay? But remember that. And let's see. James Winberry, remember him in prayer. He really needs a miracle as well. He needs a miracle. Continue to pray for Brother and Sister Campbell. The Lord will touch them. Anybody else tonight? Sister Tricia? All right, let's remember that. Sister Lisa. All right, let's remember Caleb. Sister Cindy. All right, let's remember that. Sister Amanda. Okay. Remember that request. Anybody else tonight? Remember youth camp next week. Let's pray that God would just send a mighty move of His Spirit upon us. Okay? Amen. Let's come to the altar tonight and let's pray.
If I could just touch him, I know I'd be yours. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. If I could just touch. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we praise you, God. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come ahead, Sister Carrie, and help us tonight. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Isn't it good to know that you can touch the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Amen. All you have to do is reach out and touch Him. He's here for us tonight. Amen.
Page 361 in the Green Book, Looking for a City.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That song says, are you washed in the blood? Yeah. What's your answer to that? Is it yes? Or is it yes? Amen. Are you washed in the blood? Yes. Thank God I'm washed in His blood today. Amen. What a privilege, amen, to be washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. I know we live in a time where we use those words, you know, common. They're common to us, common words. Amen. You probably say that to somebody on the street and say, are you washed in the blood? Amen. They'd probably look at you like you were really crazy or something, you know? Like, what kind of church do you go to? Amen. But I'm glad to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. No, I didn't take a bath in blood, a blood bath. Amen. But thank God one day I did go to an altar. Amen. And I had the blood of Jesus applied to my heart, right? Amen. Praise God. And that's really all that matters, is that you make sure that you're right. Amen. That you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you glad to be saved tonight? Amen. I'm glad you're saved. The Lord's glad you're saved. Most everybody here is glad you're saved, but the devil's not glad you're saved. Amen. He's just really put out over the whole deal. Amen. But that's all right. We like him to be that way, right? Amen. Praise God. Well, glory. It's good to be in church tonight. And thank the Lord for all of everybody's hard work out the camp. You've been so good to help us, and we appreciate that. But we're not done yet. And amen. You know, most people in the church answer my phone calls, except for the first two weeks before youth camp. And I get screened a lot. 2 weeks before youth camp. People don't want to hear from me, but hey, amen. But I appreciate you being faithful out at the camp. Tomorrow evening, we're going to clean the tabernacle. It's going to start at 5 o'clock. Any of you that can, help us out. We need shop vacs and things like that to get after it. And just bring any supplies that you think you might need. If you bring something that you won't need, that'll be all right, too. We can let you take it back home. But just bring what you think you might need, and we'll get the tabernacle cleaned tomorrow evening. And that way it'll be nice and clean for Monday afternoon. Amen. So a lot of things this weekend will really start piling up on us. It always does. And the Saturday night before youth camp, we've canceled the Saturday night service. And we'll be doing that again this Saturday night before youth camp. And just let us... everybody catch their breath a little bit just before we go get into the running youth camp. You know, people don't really realize the commitment it takes from Bethel Chapel for youth camp. It really does. You know, sometime in the future, if the Lord blesses, I'd like to start a kids camp. But you know what? That's just another burden on Bethel Chapel. Aren't you glad I'm merciful for now? And that we don't jump into that. But you know, there's a need for it. There's a need for it. But I know it is a tremendous burden on Bethel Chapel. And we work hard up to youth camp. And then the week of youth camp, many of you take off work and stay out at the camp. And you work around the clock, some in the concessions, some in the kitchen, some just helping out wherever they can be on the campground. And it takes every one of us. It really does. It takes every one of us to make it happen. But what a great reward. I believe that Bethel Chapel's been blessed over the years because of their labor at the campground. And that they've touched lives, young people's lives at the camp. And so I appreciate if you just another week and a half and we'll be through this. And then we'll start talking to you about camp meeting. Okay? Amen. So Saturday night service, we'll be canceling that. And Saturday evening.
And we'll be right here for Sunday morning at 9:45, okay? So if you know somebody that may not be here tonight, you might pass that word on to them so that they can be aware of that. Sunday afternoon, if you didn't have nothing to do this week, Sister Lisa has told me that's nursing home Sunday. And they come around pretty quick. But last month, Sister Keaton said it was just one of the best services, and it really, really ministered to her. She said those that were there, just Brother Rob spoke, Sister Belt said some things, and she said that what they said was just perfect. It really touched her heart, and she was so thrilled about it, and she was sharing that with Sister Ruth, how much of a blessing that service is. And it don't matter, really. I know sometimes, you know, those of you that make it out on that Sunday afternoon, you feel like, you know, it's really a burden, and it's not very many people there, and it's kind of difficult. But let me tell you what, it's a blessing. It don't matter if there's just a handful of you there, it's a blessing to them to have you there. So be encouraged in that, and that'll be on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, okay, at the nursing home. Praise the Lord. Then Monday be youth camp. Monday will be youth camp. And Sunday night, Tim will be preaching here at the church, kind of getting us kicked off for youth camp. Be praying for our youth camp, that our kids here at Beth Chapel would really, you know, get a hold of God and really touch their life. But the kids here in the church, they're familiar with camp. They're going to get a blessing, and they're going to jump in there. But we're taking a number of bus kids to camp this year, a good number of them, if they all follow through with their plans to go. We know how that is with the bus children. But if they follow through, we're going to take a good number of them out there. And it's a great opportunity for some of those young people to really have a life-changing experience. And they can experience something at youth camps that they will never, ever forget. So let's be praying for those bus children as well that'll be going, all right? And we'll be receiving a special offering for the camp on Sunday night. And if you can, just come prepared Sunday night to help in that special offering. That special offering also will help send all of our bus children and pay their registration fee to go to youth camp, all right? And that'll help cover all their expenses, okay? Amen. Well, glory. So now that I've numbed your ear, man, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Somebody else stand and testify. And you want to give the Lord praise, somebody? The Lord been good to you this week, and you want to give God praise.
I think I'll be first.
All right.
Go quick. It's easy. But last night we were digging out all them cabins, you know, and it was said it's the nastiest wood. It's so dirty. You know, some of them have been open for, I don't know how long on that one, especially the big man, because back y'all, it was a mess. But we got digging in there, cleaning Sister Ann, we cleaned out them cabins, Arlene, we was all filthy dirty. But one precious memory. In those old cabins, all the years, I remember people standing
good thought, Sister Ruth. What's nesting in your heart? Woo! Sister Karen? Right. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. That's right. Hallelujah. Right. Right. That's right. Yes, hallelujah. Right. Straight there. God bless you. Uh-huh. That's right. Sure. Right. Right. That's right. That's right. Sure. That's right. That's right. Right. Hallelujah. Way more. That's right. Right. Praise God. Right. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, yes. If you do your part, God will more than do His. Amen. God's never been accused of failing on His part of the deal. Amen. Somebody else tonight. You give the Lord praise. Amen. All right. Sister Mandy, why don't you get ready to sing for us tonight, if you would. Amen. Brother Good, Brother Miller, while she's getting ready. Right. Hallelujah. Right. Right. Oh, yes. There's no other way. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Good testimonies tonight, church.
A prisoner walking the street, forcing a smile to every prisoner I meet. But then I met the man with the key. He cleansed my poor soul and he set me free.
Free at last, bound by sin no longer.
Free.
the loft when God came down. I'm praising the Lord. I'm free at last.
Oh, Satan's chains
had me bound, but they fell off when God came down. I'm praising the Lord. I'm free at last.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
God. Hallelujah. Free at last. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of James. Book of James. Let's all come out Sunday morning at 9:45. Let's be in church. And let's come expecting the Lord to meet with us. My, what a wonderful service we had Sunday night. It was just wonderful. If you left after the first altar call, you missed it.
Yes, you did.
It only got better the longer it went. I wish we could have stayed till midnight. Amen. It was great. Wonderful service. Amen. Good to have Steve with us tonight. Sean. Man, they're here working. And we're glad to see them in church tonight. Amen. Man, almost makes you want to take an offering, you know, because you don't get to see them very often. Man, when you do get to see them, and so man, it makes you want to take an offering or something. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Amen. Beautiful verses right there. Amen. Great, great verses. But you know, James, he's writing, and if you look back at the first verse where we had talked to you on Saturday night, he's writing to scattered saints. Saints that have been scattered about. And the saints are scattered because of the persecution that had come upon the church. And so when this persecution came upon the churches, they just kind of scattered all over the known world at that time, of course, taking with them the gospel message. And that way, wonderful way that God has spreading the gospel. Sometimes we need to be, affliction causes us to do more for God. You know that? Sometimes we get so settled. We like routine. We get in our rut. And sometimes God's wanting us to do more, but we've just settled into the same old place. And then God comes along with some affliction in our life, man, and makes us move a little bit and get stirred a little bit, and God able to accomplish more. But these saints are scattered saints. They know what it was to go through trial. They know what it is to face hardship. They know what it is to go through all the hard things of life. But while they're going through these hardships, remember the enemy loves to come during trials. When can you expect to find the devil? When can you expect to find the devil? You expect to find the devil, number one, when things are going badly. You can expect the devil to be there. When you are being overwhelmed, he'll be there. When you feel like you can't handle it, he's going to be there to afflict you. And he's going to try to bring the proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back. He's going to be there when everything is going badly in your life. What James is telling these scattered saints, you've been through persecution, but let me tell you are still fighting the devil. Even though you're in your midst of your trial, the devil will always be there. If you develop a sickness in your body, let me tell you, the devil's going to take advantage of it. If you come into financial hardship, the devil's going to take advantage of it. If you come into problems in your family, the devil's going to take advantage of it. If your home is being afflicted, the devil's going to try his best to take advantage of every open door that is there. That's right. But I also find that the devil shows up when things are going good. The devil shows up when everything's going good. Sometimes when there seems to be no care in the world, yet Satan rears his ugly head and comes to afflict us and to bring trial upon us. And so we must be ready and understand that the devil is always going to be coming against the children of God and the people of God. He's going to come when things are going well, but when you are overwhelmed, you can just about count on the fact that the enemy's going to try to put one more thing on your life. When I look at these verses, though, that phrase there, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We like that verse, and that's a good verse, and I believe in that verse. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. First of all, don't you know that we have the ability to resist the devil?
Yes, we do.
The devil comes in a lot of different ways and a lot of different avenues. He can come through your mind, through your thoughts. He can come through your eyes and the things that you see and the things that you let your eyes settle upon. He can come through through other people that you associate with and the people that you hang around with. He can, the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. And that is true, that when you hang around those that are Satan influences, he uses them to influence you. But sometimes we feel like that we are just open and accessible, and we are easy prey to the enemy. But the Bible says, resist the devil. Resist the devil. Man, there is something called resistance.
Yes, there is.
Resistance. You can rest assured, amen, that you can resist the devil. Ruth was talking about those cabins. That's a good sermon there, Ruth. That's good. That's not, what's nesting in your life? Are you letting bitterness nest in your life? But the part that she didn't say, that would be another point to her sermon that she'll preach to you another night, is that while they were cleaning the cabin, Sister Carrie and Sister Becky and some of them, as they opened that one cabin, they discovered what they thought, or they think they discovered, but it probably was, a snake. The snake was in the cabin. Now, the men went rushing over there. I mean, I saw Joe running. I mean, he was moving so fast. See? No, he wasn't moving all that quick. I don't think Joe was really all that big of a hurry. I saw him pushing Jay in the door, but, no. But they went over to find. But isn't that just like when in your life, whenever you think that things are starting to clutter up, there will be a snake in the midst of it all. Amen. That enemy, the serpent, that's where he is resting at in our heart. Amen. Sometimes we need to realize, resist the devil. Resist the devil. Don't be easy prey to the enemy. Put up a little bit of a fight. Put up a little bit of fight. Resist the devil. Put up some kind of a resistance. Back in World War II, whenever the Nazis had come into France and then through Europe, amen, yes, they came and they defeated the army, and the army was defeated, and France had surrendered. But there was also a group that was underground called the Resistance. They were a resistance, and they were citizens that were determined they were not going to give up. They were not going to surrender. And they were able to create a lot of problems for the Germans while they occupied France, because they were not willing to give up. And they worked underground and secretly. And they were known as the Resistance. But sometimes the Christians, where is our resistance? Amen. We feel like we've surrendered to the enemy, we've given up, and we don't resist the devil. Learn to put up a resistance. Whenever you're tempted, resist the devil. Resist the devil. Whenever the devil comes against you and he afflicts you and you're in your tribulation, amen, resist the devil. Resist the thoughts that the devil would plant in your mind. Resist it. Don't accept it as the gospel. Amen. Don't rely on it. Don't try to find it in the Bible. Amen. Resist the devil. Amen. When the enemy comes, he starts talking to you and you listen to him. Resist the devil. Right? When he comes with depression upon you, resist the devil. Put up a fight against it. Don't give in to depression. Don't give in to oppression of the enemy. Don't give in. Don't surrender, but resist the devil. Amen. Here's the promise in it. He says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. That is a promise. Resist the devil, and he will flee. You know what that tells me? Our resistance is stronger than the attack of the enemy. It don't say how strong of a resistance it's got to be, but I believe just in a feeble word, Jesus, amen, we can put up a resistance against the enemy that the enemy has to flee. When that thought starts to come into your mind, amen, you can start pleading the blood of Jesus upon your thoughts. Amen, you can start thinking about the Word of God. Amen, you can start thinking about the name of Jesus, and the devil will flee from you if you're willing to put up a resistance. Now, the devil made me do it. Baloney. Resist the devil. We act like the devil's got our arm twisted behind us. And he's pulling it up and he's about ready to break it off. And we're like, we don't have any choice in the matter to give in. That is not true. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. The Bible don't give any stipulations, really, except the ones I'll share with you in a minute. But he don't give any stipulations. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's what it says. Right? Resist and he will flee. There's a resistance of the devil. Resist the devil. But in our resistance to the devil, there needs to be a reliance upon God. Okay? Notice what he says. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh unto you. Right? How many of you know anything about a magnet? You've got a magnet that's got two poles, right? And they attract or repel. Attract or repel. But some of us, we've got our magnet tuned to the world. And we attract the world and the devil. And we repel God. But if we flip the magnet around, okay? Resist the devil. And draw nigh unto the Lord. Amen. We need to flip this thing around. We're looking at it the wrong way. And when we resist the devil and he will flee from us, there needs to be a reliance upon God. Listen. I don't care who you are. You in yourself are no match for the enemy. You're not. I've been serving God for many, many years. I don't care. None of us are any match for the devil. And when we resist the devil, we need to draw nigh to God. Let me tell you, that's the only way. That's the only way. There has to be a reliance upon God. You cannot stand and put your finger in the face of the devil and think that you're going to stand in your own strength. You will fall. But you are going to have to rely upon God. There needs to be a reliance upon the power of God in your life. Amen. That's what we back ourselves up to. We back ourselves up to the Word of God. Amen. We back ourselves up and we are supported by the power of God. Amen. So we need to draw nigh to the Lord. Amen. Don't think that you can just get up and start making demands upon the devil. Amen. But you better first draw close to God. Amen. And draw nigh to Him. And then put the resistance on the devil. Amen. Draw nigh to the Lord. Draw nigh. I'll tell you, sometimes I get a little fearful of people that start bossing the devil around. That's right. I get a little fearful. You say, well, you know, he's just the devil, and you know, God's given us power. I understand there's power in God. But what concerns me is people that feel like, amen, that they've got it all in control themselves, and they're not praying, and they're not seeking God. When you're in a battle against the devil, you need to resist the devil, but there needs to be a reliance upon the Lord. You need to rely upon God. Draw nigh to Him. When the devil comes against you, when you are under affliction, in their time of trial and tribulation, amen, put up a resistance, put up a shield against the enemy, but open your arms up to God and draw close to the Lord and draw near to Him. When you're fighting the devil, you need to be on your knees praying to God. When you're putting up a resistance against the enemy, amen, you need to be calling out to God, reading His Word, amen, being in the presence and Spirit of God, amen, being full of the Holy Ghost, amen, draw nigh to the Lord. You can't do it on your own. Man, if you was going to school and you had a big bully, now he's always picking on you. You know what you'd need to find? You need to find somebody that was bigger than the bully that would be willing to back you up. That's right? Man, that's why I always liked Charlie Hoxie. I always liked that guy. Charlie, as big as he was never a bully. He was never a bully. But just by his sheer size, he could put fear in the heart of most people. And even though I was a little guy, man, it was good to have Charlie Hoxie around. It was good to have him around, to have him on your side. Right? Well, let me tell you, when you're up against the enemy, amen, you need to draw nigh to God, because it says, when you draw nigh unto Him, He's going to draw nigh unto you. Amen. Get the magnet turned around. Amen. And resist the devil. Repel the devil. And draw nigh unto the Lord. And get closer to God. Amen. It'll make a difference in how you handle the afflictions in your life. Resist the devil. Reliance upon God. But notice there's something else here. It's repentance of sin. Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That's right. There is no need for you to try to resist the devil. Don't start taking God's name and using God's name as a tool when you've got sin in your life. If you have sin in your life, you can't resist the devil. You can't put up a fight against the enemy. There needs to be a repentance of sin. If you're going to go to war and start resisting the devil, if you're going to start putting your finger in the face of the enemy and saying, look, devil, I've had enough. I want you to get out of my life. I rebuke you. If you're going to put your finger out there, let me tell you, you better make sure that you've drawn nigh to the Lord. And you're relying upon Him, and you better make sure that you've had repentance of sin in your life. You better make sure that your heart is pure, that your hands have been cleansed. Amen. That you've called out to the Lord Jesus, because there's no need to try to resist the devil when you have sin in your life. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? In the name of Paul, in the name of Jesus, we adjure thee to come out. Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know, and this is Brim's interpretation, but who in the world are you? Yeah, that's basically what the devil said. Who are you? Who are you? Let me tell you, if you're going to go to war with the devil, amen, you better draw nigh to God and cleanse your heart. Amen, repent of your sin. Make sure there is no sin in your life. It's hard to go to battle when you've got a traitor fighting on your side. When you find out that all of a sudden all of your secrets are turning up in the hands of the enemy. When all of a sudden the gate's being left open for the enemy to come in the stealth of the night. When you find out all of a sudden that the enemy has now gained a foothold because there is a traitor among you, that's like having sin in your life. When you try to put a fight up against the enemy, you've got to make sure that you don't have sin in your life. Make sure that you cleanse your heart. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. I don't know about you, but I don't think the Lord wants us to gloat in our power over the enemy. I don't think that's for us to glory in. But from what I read there, it's in humility that we win the battle against the enemy. Because it's not us. I tell you, I've heard enough televangelists, radio evangelists, that make all kinds of demands on the enemy. Make all kinds of demands upon the enemy. And they act like they've got some superpower. And I wonder, where is the humility? Where is the humility? Because the way I look at it, when we go to war with the enemy, amen, it's not us. It's all about the power of God working through us. It's all about the God giving us the victory. I can't stand against the enemy and neither can you. But through the power of God, we can resist the devil if we draw nigh to Him. It's only through His strength, only through His strength that we can resist the devil. It's not of anything that I've ever done. It's not because of who I am or what I've done or where I've been, but it's all because of what Jesus has done. It's all because of who Jesus is. It's all because of the price that He paid. It's through His blood that we can resist the devil. It's through His blood that we can stand against the enemy. Amen. And that's not of any power of my own. Amen. And I need to realize that. Amen. I don't need to stand up and gloat in my power or authority over the enemy because I don't have any. It's all through Jesus Christ. All through Jesus Christ. That's why in verse number 10 he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Amen. You don't need to put up a front for the enemy. You don't need to put up a strong front for the enemy. As far as the enemy's concerned, let him see your humility. Let them realize, amen, that you have somebody else fighting for you. That's going to win the battle for you. What does He say? He will lift you up. He will lift you up. Amen. I don't know, sometimes people act like they've got the devil down on the ground and their foot up on his neck, like they've just conquered the giant Goliath and they're getting ready to cut off his head. Let me tell you, that's not where I want to be. Amen. Any time I felt like I went face to face with the devil, amen, I felt so helpless, so weak. And it was only through the power of God. That's right. I don't know if you've ever went face to face with the devil. Looked him in the eye. But if you've ever done that, I'll tell you, you feel so insignificant. You feel so small. Feel so weak. And I think that's because we know that when God moves, it is God that moved. It's not in any word that I was able to conjure up. It wasn't any hocus pocus that I was able to deliver. Amen. It was all because I relied upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And was able to resist the devil. Amen. Amen. In your life right now, you may feel like the devil's coming against you and the enemy's afflicting your life. The Bible says resist the devil. Maybe you're battling depression or the oppression of the enemy. Maybe you feel like you're being afflicted and troubled on every hand. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I can't get away from that magnet. Amen. Get that magnet turned around. Amen. You've been attracting all the wrong things to your life. That's why there's been so much trouble. That's why there's been so much heartache. Amen. You've been attracting the things of the world. That's where your attention's been. That's what's been your attraction. Amen. What you need to do is you need to try to turn it around so you could draw nigh to God and let Him draw nigh to you. Amen. Forget who I was speaking to just this past weekend. But it's talking about the power of magnetism. The power of magnetism. And they was talking about in Japan that there's a train, that a high-speed train that's ran by magnets. And that magnet, that they magnetize that rail to pull that train down the track at a high speed. I mean, there's power in magnetism. But I know this, that if I draw nigh to the Lord, if I begin, as I become closer to Him, He's going to come closer to me. Amen. If I put out an attraction for Him, He's going to come closer. Hallelujah. Amen. Draw nigh to Him. Cleanse yourself. Amen. Repent of your sin in your life. Humble yourself before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's going to lift you up. Amen. Church, let's stand if we would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Resist the devil. Rely upon God. Repent of your sin. I think you can have victory over the devil.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. You know, sometimes one of our problems is we don't recognize the devil as the devil. We recognize, we look for the devil in all the different, all the wrong places sometimes. But listen, sometimes the trouble and the hardship of your life is no more than the work of the enemy to get you discouraged in your heart and to afflict you and to trouble your life. It's the work of the enemy. Don't give in to the enemy. I feel like that anything that would pull you away from God is the work of the enemy. I feel like anything that will draw you away from God and the things of God is the enemy working in your life. If it's discouragement, if it's troubles, if it's problems, if it's a job, whatever it is, amen, resist the devil. Amen, recognize who he is. Say, devil, I'm not going to let you get me down. I'm not going to let you get me discouraged. I'm not going to quit. Resist the devil. Rely upon God. Repent of your sins. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord God, I ask you, Lord God, that you would touch our heart tonight. God, that you would work in our life right now, Lord Jesus. God, I ask you, Lord God, that you would move on each one that's here. God, if there's one here tonight, Lord God, that's been afflicted by the enemy. God, if they feel like they're troubled on every side. Lord, if their heart is overwhelmed. Lord, I ask you, Jesus, that you would begin to speak to them. God, let them know that there's power in God tonight. Lord, let us turn the magnet around tonight. Lord, let us start drawing to you and resisting the devil. I ask in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing this chorus. Shut in with God in a secret place.
Oh, there in the Spirit, beholding His face. Race, I long to be shut in with God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's come to this altar tonight. Hallelujah, you need the Lord to help you. Amen. Why don't you come and let's ask the Lord to move in your life, in your family. Let's resist the devil tonight. Let's draw nigh to God.